Can the Diamondbacks survive the 2024 season with their patchwork rotation? We'll talk about that. Jake McCarthy trade rumors that have recently popped up, and look at the Diamondbacks' internal options at the third base position on today's episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. And greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. I am Mike McDermott, the lead Diamondbacks reporter for Burn City Sports, and I'm joined today by everyone's favorite co-host, Wes Byers. So, Wes, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. You know, it's another day, and, you know, different cliche. I don't know what else to say. Mediocre Diamondbacks team, kind of disappointing, I think, so far. Our main topic of discussion today is really the mediocrity of the rotation that's being held together by bits and pieces of string and, you know, whatever they can find in the junk drawer just to hold it together. And I thought we wouldn't be in this position this year. Like, we talked about this in one of the, like, I think the last episode before the season started, is that they, you know, we thought Mike Hazen made some really good moves. You know, one of them has yet to even, like, be a factor in Eduardo Rodriguez. And then Jordan Montgomery has been, we'll say mediocre, to be fair. He's given up how many runs in the last two starts?
So 14 runs on 16 hits in his last six innings.
Yeah, that's you can't win ball games if one of your, you know, main, you know, like, off season. Well, I guess one of your main acquisitions is, you know, they signed up right when the season started. You know, like, I think that's actually a real factor, you know, in the mediocrity, is he didn't have a spring training. And, you know, when you get started, right? Like, you know, who is he even able to pitch to before he started the season? He pitched to a bunch of, you know, 18, 19 year olds, and then some people in AAA.
Well, he skipped the 18, 19 year olds thing. He just started in AAA, but
yeah.
So Montgomery obviously is one of the current issues affecting the Diamondbacks and their ability to compete. But the good news for them is they're four games under 500, and they're only a game back of a National League wildcard spot, because the entire National League right now has decided to be, I guess, terrible. There are all 13 teams that are within three games of a playoff spot. We'll double check.
But there's only four teams that are above 500. That's why.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with that. Like, it's really, I think there's been a lot of injuries. Who are those teams? I don't even know. Like, it's just been, the NL has been terrible this year.
Yeah. So I just double checked the standings, and yes, there are 13 of the 15 National League teams are within three games of a playoff spot or hold a playoff spot.
The competitive, it's the team, you know, they've reached parity in the NL. It's competitive. Let's look at this like a positive, like Rob Manfred would, that, you know, that the NL has parity. They're all competitive. They're all in position for a postseason run. We're looking really forward to seeing this postseason. That's I'm sure MLB executives are looking at this.
Translation, all these teams suck.
Yeah, they do. They do suck. That's definitely, but I think, let's, you know, if we look at why, is a lot of teams are in the same position the Diamondbacks are in. You know, tying it back to what I was saying is that, like, you know, you have a lot of injured pitchers. You know, it's, you know, like, even like teams like Blake Snell, who also signed a late. I mean, Blake Snell is a mediocre pitcher other than his Cy Young years, but still, I mean, he's not that far removed from being, you know, Jordan Montgomery in terms of, like, you know, what they offer. And they both have had really poor starts to the season, and I really think that, like, you know, missing spring training is pr- probably part of it. I'm not sure what's going on. It's offense is way down and like league wide. I think it's the ball personally, but
there's a lot of shit going on.
There's a lot of shit going on. You got that right. Do you think Jordan Montgomery can, do you think he'll get better as the season progresses?
Well, if he doesn't, Diamondbacks are screwed.
Yeah, of course. That's, that goes without saying. I would hope that he does. Having Zach Allen and Merrill Kelly injured, obviously that doesn't help. I mean, it starts there, but you know, when you do one of your, you know, like I said, is he the highest paid pitcher on the team?
I think the highest paid pitcher on the team is Montgomery. Cause you got, well, obviously Zach Gallen's in his ARB2 year. He's making $10 million.
You have three pitchers on, you know, your highest paid pitchers on the IL. You have Jordan Montgomery, who's ineffective. We've heard about Eduardo Rodriguez. Like I said, he's been a non-factor. It's one of the main acquisitions. He hasn't even thrown a pitch. So, I don't know if the rotation can hold it together. They're obviously going to need Montgomery to improve. They're going to need the younger pitchers to step up and, you know, go beyond what they've shown so far.
Yeah. So now we'll get into the topic of the current starting rotation, which I said is a patchwork rotation. That was the phrasing that I used in my headline for the article I wrote on Burn City Sports, which you can find at burncitysports.com. But going back to the starting rotation, right now their starting five is, we already talked about Montgomery, and then Brandon Pfaadt has been a pretty good innings eater with terrible run prevention numbers. He's got a 4.60 ERA, but the more advanced metrics like Pfaadt, and I feel like Pfaadt has a new diagnosis I'm calling, bad pitch at wrong time disease, is what I'm going to call his starts right now.
Yeah, you know it's, if you look into Pfaadt, not to get too far, and I actually think that there's, you know, some positive regression for him. I think I'm more confident in him improving as the season progresses than I am Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah, and then you got Ryan Nelson, who's got a career ERA of 5.14 and kind of has that weird habit where he'll have one really good start and then he'll have two or three really bad starts right after that. So, and even in his good starts, he's not really, and there's a lot of, and I feel like there's a lot of issues with Nelson. It's just like the sum is not great with the parts with him as a starting pitcher. Like a pitcher with the raw stuff that Nelson has shouldn't have one strikeout in 7 2/3 innings against, well, the Giants are a better team than people give him credit for offensively, but still.
Yeah, I feel like with Nelson, I mean, so a lot of it's just execution. I don't really know. Like, I think, you know, at a certain point, you're going to have to start looking at, like, the coaching staff in terms of, like, players. Like, player development is not where it should be. And to, you know, how pitchers are coming along. And eventually, you know, they're going to need to take a look at that, because I don't think it's necessarily, you know, if every single young guy has trouble, you know, developing into the pitcher that you think he is when you draft him, then there's definitely a problem. It's kind of the same thing. He just makes bad pitches. The good starts is everything's clicking. He seems to make, you know, he executes the right pitch at the right time. And then, in those bad starts, it's the complete opposite. It's just like baffling, some of his choices of, like, you know, what he decides to throw and what situation. I don't know if there's really any like common denominator there between the good starts and the bad starts of like what's consistent between the two.
I think it does come down to pitch selection. I think game calling, I wonder how, I would have to look it up, but I wonder how Nelson fares with, Tucker Barnhart, although we don't really know how that's gone. His last start with Barnhart was a disaster. I take that back.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that's something that I would look at. Is like, okay, is that a factor? Is who's catching that day?
Yeah, you can look up splits of like catcher with starting pitchers, and I'm gonna do that right now on Baseball Reference. You just go to splits on player profile page, and you go to by catcher. And of course, that crappy start against the Padres is going to weigh heavily on Barnhart's numbers. Okay, so with Barnhart behind the plate, opponents, well, the ERA is inflated 7.45 because of that Padres start.
Yeah.
Because of the home runs, but the OPS is 11 points lower. Like I said, that's a small sample size thing. The strikeout to walk ratio is a little bit higher with Moreno, 2.1 versus 1.7. But at the same point, when we talk about Nelson, does the catcher even matter for the lack of execution?
That's the thing. I mean, it does matter to some extent because there's definitely catchers that, can bring out the best in their starting pitcher. And there's catchers who definitely make, I mean, actually, I'd say it's the other way around. There's catchers that just make the pitcher worse.
Yeah. Most of those catchers usually get unemployed pretty quickly.
Yeah. If you're wondering why that catching prospect who, hits the shit out of the baseball is no longer a catcher, that's probably why. He's turning strikes into balls, which is not a good thing.
Well, until the challenge system shows up in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's where that's not really a factor, but it just seems like everything is just not going right. I was looking through the results of the, since the last podcast of, series by series, and it's other than sweeping Cincinnati, they really haven't had a good go at it. It looks like they were turning a corner at that point, and then it's been kind of poor results. So then, although the series split against the Padres was kind of unexpected for me.
I mean, if you look at the Diamondbacks, they haven't lost their last three series. They split against the Mets. They won 2 of 3 against the Giants, and they split against San Diego. 6-4 in their last 10 games, despite the fact the starting rotation has been not good.
Yeah. They're staying alive. That's the important thing, is they're still alive. They're still in the race, but it's not necessarily because they've been good. It's because the rest of the league has been just as kind of mediocre. I mean, 6-10, that's pretty good, but you're not going to gain much ground on, the other teams if they're playing similarly, and they seem to be having the same kind of stretches where they win 6-10, and then at the same time the Diamondbacks are winning 6-10. So it's like you're not making any progress in the standings in that position.
Yeah, I think for the Diamondbacks, the key comes down to the pitching. Like when they get when they endure a tough inning defensively. So, like, for example, in Jordan Montgomery's case, he's given up 14 runs, but the 14 runs have come in just three innings. 4, 4, and 6. When they give up a big inning like that, it sucks the life out of the team.
Yeah. Some of the kind of poor stretches earlier in the season were largely like a result of poor defense. Like, Blaze Alexander is she's kind of shown that he's not a major league shortstop. In terms of,
he's not starting defense.
He's not a starting shortstop. I mean, yes, you play it in a pinch, but you're not going to want to play in every day. I think having Gerardo Perdomo come back off the IL, which he should be back by the time that you're watching this. I think he really does kind of like his presence on the field really does make a difference for me in seeing how this team plays.
Actually, weirdly enough, I think Perdomo is going to be a downgrade defensively over Kevin Newman, but he's an offensive upgrade due to his ability to get on base, and there's not much loss in the slugging department.
Yeah, that's really... But
I feel like Newman doesn't get enough credit for what he's done outside of what Steve Berthume says on air.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I would say that, Perdomo is a bit of a downgrade from Newman, but I think Perdomo has more range, like he's a little more rangier. I think that just Newman has the experience to be a shortstop that he's someone you don't really worry about.
Yeah, you don't worry about either guy, but Newman to me is the guy that has superior range. But Perdomo, in my opinion, is obviously more comfortable with the infield, and I feel like is an offensive upgrade, even though you're losing a little bit of range defensively. Perdomo doesn't have very good range, lateral range, whereas Newman is.
Yeah.
Above average, and also a more usable arm. and get it, get his arms off platform.
Yeah, but I think the team. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily like, it's a lateral move at best to me, but I think just like the team chemistry with Perdomo on the field, there's something there that where he makes a difference. I mean, regardless of, you know, which player is, you know, the difference is slight to me in defense. I haven't watched enough Kevin Newman, so I'm going to defer to you on that one. But I do think that there's this, that, you know, like all these players, they pretty much have played their entire career with him.
Yeah. Like I agree on the Perdomo clubhouse angle. I feel like I think his presence has been missed in that clubhouse. That should be an improvement with him set to come off the IL before the Angels series.
Yeah, I think it's going to, you know, that's one thing that can help the team is just like getting some of these guys to, you know, off the injured list. You know, obviously you're missing Zach Allen. If you can tie it back to the starting rotation there before we really change subjects. But, you know, like missing Zach Allen, you know, he really hasn't been at his best this year. I think he's, you know, kind of. He seems to be losing a little bit of luster off of his just the results. I don't really know what's missing for him this year. Maybe it's just been like kind of injuries, but yeah, I mean the presence of him is missed. I don't know how long he's going to be. What is he on the IL for?
Gallen is supposed to come off the IL not much more than the 15 days he needs to spend on air.
Yeah. He might not on the 8th. So he could be back within a week or two.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to – I'll be surprised if he throws a rehab start because he's only missing 3 turns to the rotation. Whereas Merrill Kelly and Eduardo Rodriguez are probably going to need 3 rehab starts at a minimum.
I would expect him to have a much longer return to the rotation. If he even throws it – I mean, at this point, I've written him coming back at all.
Yeah, I'll be surprised.
I'm writing it off. I would be surprised if he throws a pitch this season at this point.
With Erod, I think the next team he's going to face is Chicago. Not the White Sox, the Cubs. After the All-Star break. Would be the same team he got injured against.
That's a realistic timeline, actually, for him to return. And it's like any setback. I mean, at the point where if he's coming back down the stretch, it's like, what's the point?
And I also feel like Erod would have been back by now if the D-backs handled his injury more carefully when it first happened. Instead of having him start a throwing program and making it worse.
Yeah, that's Torrey that was actually a mistake.
Torrey actually talked about learning a valuable lesson in that situation. In that regard, that's out there on the internet. So
I mean, like at this point, like I mean, really, like the only way that they're gonna fix the rotation is like by some means, like you know, Gallen gets back relatively quickly, he returns to effectiveness. You get Merrill Kelly back, you know, in the next month. Same thing with Erod, you know, like that's what they're gonna need, and they're gonna need, you know, they're gonna need major contributions from each player because, I mean, they're that far behind. In terms of like really, you know, ensuring their chance, like they're lucky that the NL has been this bad because they still have a very good chance of surviving. I mean, I would say no. If it was last year, I'd say no. This season's done. But from the looks of it, you know, a barely 500 team is probably going to make, you know, the wild card. There might be an under 500 team making the wild card at this point. No.
Two teams are going to get hot at the end of the season and finish with 84 wins. The Diamondbacks are one of those two teams that have a good shot at it.
Yeah. However, that's kind of like my point. I don't count on that.
And everyone talks about, okay, wait till Erod and Kelly come off the IL. There's no guarantee they're going to be as good as they were last year. Now, if they got 2023 Erod, 2023 Kelly back off the IL, and that's what they were going to get, start buying playoff tickets would be my
answer to that one. That's a lot that you have to wish to go right. And that's, I'm not confident at this point. Like I'm a lot like less confident than we were at the beginning of the season. That's obvious. I think we were a little too optimistic riding the high of an off season where the, the D-backs actually like did stuff, like lots of moves. Like that was the most moves I've ever seen them make. But I mean, like at that point, there's not really much more that they can do other than hope that they come off the IL, hope that you kind of fix the Kingston Nelsons, you know, and like whatever he's doing differently and the good starts and the bad starts. You hope that you can address that, get some consistency out of him. You get Brandon Pfaadt to execute better pitches in those moments. And then you have a really good chance of making it, you know, in a wild card spot. But I'm not counting. That's a lot that needs to go right as far as the rotation goes.
By the way, with Nelson, if the rotation gets healthy, he goes to the bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be if we have Ryan Nelson in the in the bullpen, you know, things are going right at that point.
So
we can only hope that happens.
If Nelson's in the bullpen, teams are less likely to game plan against him. And I feel like he can outstuff hitters one time through the lineup. He doesn't have to focus on throttling himself. He can just go 95, 98 for two innings and just go to work. Which is why I liked it, which is why we talked about him as a possible bullpen conversion in the offseason. But yeah. I mean, the thing for me, obviously, is I think also the Diamondbacks are going to have to swing a deal at the deadline. This is a really bad deadline to be a buyer.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, 13 teams within three games of the playoff spot right now as of entering play June 10th.
Yeah, this is definitely a seller's market. You know, this is where, you know, maybe the Diamondbacks should be considering selling off some pieces instead of making an acquisition. I mean, it depends on how things go over the next month.
I mean, the Diamondbacks' attempt to sell will depend on how they view their 2025 season. If it doesn't look good for them, they don't think it feels. Yeah. Sell high on Gallen.
Yeah.
Sell high on Gallen. Sell high on Seawald. I mean, get what you can for Seawalds. Those are your two guys that are going to get returns. But if the Diamondbacks feel like they can get a playoff spot not only this year, but next year, they're not going to trade either. They're not going to trade Seawald. They're not going to trade Gallen. They're going to add to their roster. Problem is, who are they going to add?
But yeah, that's the thing.
We'll find out in the next 6 to 7 weeks. Like Diamondbacks' next three series against teams they should beat. Like 6-3 needs to be expectation for the next 9 games.
Yeah.
Then, of course, they're going to go to Philadelphia, and that's going to be a pain. That's going to be a very tough series for them because Philadelphia is the best team in the National League right now, and they're probably pissed off about how the NLCS ended.
Oh, I think so. I think Philadelphia is a. They're very. I wouldn't bet on the Diamondbacks. I would imagine the Vegas odds probably favor Philadelphia too heavily on that one.
The first game's going to be a bloodbath, but
you're going to be out for blood.
I feel like they could. I think they can steal a game though, but that's a different discussion for a later episode.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so that's a good, you know, after we're talking about trades, that goes. There's been rumors of Jake McCarthy, you know, being traded, and there are people checking in on him. And I know, I would not trade. I mean, well, there's a couple ways to look at it.
So, kind of cutting in here. So there's a report from. So Bob Nightingale in his weekly column wrote a report on that. The Philadelphia Phillies are checking in on outfielder Jake McCarthy. And we're going to talk about McCarthy as a trade candidate and why it's a really stupid idea to trade McCarthy. Checking in on because they're looking to upgrade their outfield defense. So that, because that was kind of like a black hole for them in the NLCS. But also, Philadelphia is clearly in position to put in their get back to the NLCS. It's just a matter of who they face underneath. But I feel like McCarthy will not be a Philly because one, it's a bad idea for the Diamondbacks to trade to a National League competitor if they feel like they're a contender. So that's the one thing. And two, I feel like trading McCarthy's a mistake because he's one of their few bats that can consistently get on base, and the Diamondbacks don't necessarily have enough sluggers in their lineup to overcome a low OBP option for McCarthy's at bats, or dare I say, Alec Thomas. So, what do you?
Yeah,
I want to take your opinion on that.
So, I knew you were throwing that. That's why I paused. But Jake McCarthy, there's two ways to look at it. If you think that this is, you know, like the real Jake McCarthy is who we've seen this year, and you know that not last year but the year before, then by all means you're going to keep him. He's too valuable of an asset. If you think that he's, you know, the player he was last year, then you know, by all means trade him. I think he's closer to the player that he's shown so far. This, you know, I think that's the real Jake McCarthy. I think he's not quite an everyday player, but close enough, and he provides a key. Like you said, on base percentage is something this team's sorely lacking in, and Jake's actually been a pretty valuable asset as far as that goes. Getting in a base, he can wreck havoc on the base pass. I mean, he's a useful player to have. My thing would be like, what would be the return that you're getting from Philadelphia if you're going to trade him? Is it an actual prospect? It's an actual, you know, top 100 MLB prospect. Yeah, sure. Do it.
I don't think McCarthy's bringing back Mick Abel, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking, is if you're getting a good return like that. I mean, you never know unless you try. I would hope that Mike Hazen's like, okay, I want him. You got to. Sometimes the team will blink and they'll be safe. They'll do it. It happens.
I'd trade him for Aiden Miller, but I don't think Philadelphia's trading Aiden Miller for anybody. And I don't think the Diamondbacks are necessarily looking for a prospect either in this trade. If they're trading with Philadelphia for McCarthy, they want someone on. They're probably going to want a pitcher on Philadelphia's roster.
They're looking for, I mean, the closest thing that you would really, like a prospect kind of, you look at like a Cole Reagans kind of guy in return, who's not like, I mean, you have to understand when Reagans was traded for Chapman, he was, you know, coming off of a second Tommy John, he had real question marks around it. Like, that's the kind of trade you want to make. I don't think they're going to get something like that from Philly. But I mean, you want to listen to offers, I think, on everyone except for, you know, the few players that you know, are obvious are off limits. So I'd want to get an actual return. I wouldn't do Jake McCarthy for cash. He's worth more than that, and he's worth more than a AAA filler or a Dominican Summer League, you know, lottery prospect.
Would you trade him for? Here's a name I'm going to float out: Spencer Turnbull.
Guys,
in a one for one swap. So Turnbull actually pitched pretty well as a starting pitcher. Six starts, had a 1.67 ERA, 3.24 FIP. And only one game where he had a game score below 58. But they moved him into the bullpen, and he's pitched out of the bullpen for the last 6 weeks or so.
Now, I mean, I don't like how old he is. I think he's a little too old. Not enough control there. I wouldn't do that trade. If it was someone younger, that there were more years of control. He looks like he's been a good bullpen arm this year. I mean, if you think he can convert him back to the rotation, sure, but he's not exactly the kind of guy that I'd want.
Yeah. I mean, the thought process is, okay, Spencer Turnbull at least could give you a credible bottom of the rotation starter, and that's what the Diamondbacks are going to be pushing McCarthy out of the starting lineup anyway in favor of Alec Thomas. That's why I said one for one. Now, if you feel like that's not necessarily a fair deal, then Hazen certainly has all the leverage in this trade negotiation. It's like, okay, we'll take Turnbull plus.
Oddly enough, there's a link with Turnbull and that he was pushed out of the rotation by former D-back Taijuan Walker.
Bad decision, Philly.
A little weird circle back around, because he's going to be right back in the rotation. Taijuan Walker, unfortunately, I you know, great pitcher, but the man's ligaments and is just, they're, he's just not a, like a, just can't stay healthy in my opinion, you know. So I wouldn't do Turnbull for Jake. I don't think there's enough control there. I don't think that they're necessarily similar value. I'd want a guy that you get a couple of years of control at least.
Yeah, and Diamondbacks aren't going to get an impact reliever coming back, because Philadelphia's not going to look to subtract for that. Yeah. I know Jack joked to Jesse and I to trade McCarthy for Jose Alvarado, which, of course, the Diamondbacks would do, but I don't think Philadelphia does.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
It'd be a pretty nice bullpen, though. You'd have Sewald's your closer, your high-leverage lefties Alvarado, because Alvarado could basically pitch in any role in the bullpen. And that kind of drops Mantiply into the middle relief role, and he's really good at that. Thompson, Ginkle, your set man. And then, of course, if the game, if you had to pull your star in the fourth inning, you got Justin Martinez. Now, of course, that may be something the D-backs do at the deadline. I still think they need someone who eats innings for them because that starting rotation is a sore spot.
But yeah, they can always, I mean, who are they going to trade for?
I would actually I don't know who's going to give up anything.
I mean, like, really, like, you're looking at. I mean, who's out of it in the AL? There's obviously only two teams, or a team in the NL that's completely out of it. And then there's probably not a lot. There's probably not gonna be, like you said, it's gonna be a very tough, deadline to buy anything because there's not gonna be a lot of teams, you know, looking to sell. And there's gonna be pretty much a lot of teams that are motivated to buy if they're actually within it within a couple games.
So, yeah, the Diamondbacks are going to be playing two teams that are out of it in their next homestand. They start with the Angels, who have a, who are in last place in the... Well, they're tied for last place. They've played two fewer games than Oakland in the AL West, and Chicago has the worst record in Major League Baseball. Those are in their next six games.
Yeah. And no, they're not going to acquire Luis Robert, people. That's just not going to happen. That doesn't even make any sense. I've heard that, seen that, and that's just... No, just no. No one, no, it's not going to happen. Okay. Before anyone even brings it up, it's not going to happen. You already got, you already got Christian Walker.
I mean, here's how, probably how the, it's like, hey, what does it cost for Luis Robert Jr.?
Too much.
Jordan Lawler, Jake, I don't think they're going to want Jake McCarthy. We've already,
They've already declined that one. In hindsight, they probably should have.
I question Chicago's judgment as an organization.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll take Suarez off.
Dominic Fletcher has not had a good year with the White Sox. He's been, like, I think there's some serious dysfunction in that organization because Fletcher is a much better player than he's shown with the White Sox. I'm really kind of... I'm baffled at. I gotta pull it up because last time I looked, he was in the negative value. But yeah, I wouldn't want anything. I mean, although on one hand, there's definitely there is probably reason, you know, to look at a player in an organization like that. Do you think that the organization is like kind of, you know, holding them down? But yeah, no, it's gonna cost too much to get Luis Robert. I don't see them making any kind of move like that.
Yeah. If they're gonna drop their trade chips into one player, I think it's gonna go to the rotation or third base. Yeah. So sliding over to third base, we're gonna talk about Eugenio Suarez, a rumor that the D-backs are looking to shop him at the deadline, and we can pretty much say it will be a very unsuccessful attempt.
I don't see that. I don't see anyone acquiring Suarez unless it's one of those things where they're like, oh hey, that, you know, there's something obviously wrong that he's doing. That the team doesn't see, which is not, that doesn't really happen these days.
It happens a lot to the D-backs.
Yeah, it's one of those, he's been negative in value all around. It's not like a bad luck thing with him. He's hit his decline phase. And this is a risk that Zips foresaw, a lot of projection systems kind of, you know, and evaluators. All we're saying that he's kind of lost a step or two. And then we've even mentioned that, like I said, I hope it's, you know, not that he's not in the decline phase, but it appears that he is. I don't think they're going to get much for him. You might get a Dominican Summer League lottery ticket, but that's, you know, I don't see anyone who'd want him.
I mean, the problem also is the Diamondbacks to probably facilitate a trade would either have to throw in a prospect, which is already bad enough, or they're going to have to pay down a lot of that contract, which defeats the purpose of trading him in the first place.
Yeah.
They have to pay down a lot of the contract. They're just going to DFA him.
Yeah. You would just do that. I don't see that happening. I don't know who they would even trade him to, who would want him, unless, I mean, it just doesn't seem likely. I don't know who would be a viable third base target. If that's the other side of this question. I mean, who would you want? Like dream acquisition. Who you acquiring to play third base?
But anyways, aside from, it's too early to make a call on who would be, but I think the Diamondbacks would have, if the Diamondbacks were to move on from Suarez, they'd probably want to know what they have internally first before they decide to make a move. Yeah. Although I would say their internal options are pretty grim, I would say. That's why they're still playing him.
Yeah. I mean, you have Lawler to some extent. Blaze probably a little bit more than Lawler in terms of like how well you'd throw him at, how well they would work out at third. I don't know really who your other, you know, internal options are. Yeah, that's pretty grim. But I would imagine that they're going to look at both those players at third. I mean, Perdomo, I think, would be, I mean, I don't mind him. He's not the best third baseman, but he's certainly, I think he's a better option than Suarez, at least in getting in base.
Yeah, I look at it, if the Diamondbacks move on from Suarez without a trade in the works, you're looking at a Perdomo, Alexander, platoon at third.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be playing Jordan Lawler at third base. Those are their two options. Like, if I were the Diamondbacks, when he gets back to Reno, third base, third base, third base. There's no reason for him to play shortstop for the Diamondbacks in 2024. They're covered, and then some at the position.
Yeah, I would absolutely give Lawler a shot at third. I think that's he's probably one of the better internal options. I mean, here's the thing: is he's young enough that, and he's played a little bit of third base. He hasn't played a lot, but I think that he's a viable option there. He hasn't proven that he's not. I think moving Blaze to third is probably, I think he might be just as bad as he's a shortstop. That's the thing. I don't even necessarily think it's just.
I think he'll do a better time at third base because it's more of a reactionary, instinctual position than shortstop.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
I feel like Alexander struggles when he has a lot of time to think.
Yes.
Or instead of just being athletic.
Yeah.
When Blaze needs to be athletic and throw the ball hard, he usually makes the play and it's a perfect throw across the diamond.
Yeah.
When he's hitting a routine two hopper up the middle, then he kind of overcooks the throw and Walker's got to dig it out.
When it's slightly complicated and he's like, oh God, what? Okay, so first I got to do this and that, and then, oh shit, brain fart.
I don't know. I can't relate. I didn't have, when I fielded ground balls, obviously I was an infielder, but I wasn't very good at it.
Yeah, I don't understand what the
issue. I don't
issue.
Have any thoughts.
Neither do I. That's territory for some sports psychologists, which neither of us are qualified to really, you know, provide any analysis on that. So yeah, I don't see them acquiring someone for third. Like, that just doesn't mean, I mean, we've already given up Ryan Bliss. I don't want to give up another prospect for a third baseman. That's just dumb to me.
Well, if you feel like you can separate in the wild card race, like even if the Diamondbacks had the 5 seed, I don't think Atlanta is necessarily a team to be overly worried about. They don't seem, even before Acuna went down, it didn't seem like they were the same team as last year. They've been hit hard by injuries and they're.
Yeah. That's kind of what
same resilience is gone.
Every team is kind of, all the playoff teams really, they've all kind of taken some hits. The only really, like, you know, the Dodgers are still the Dodgers. It's really, that's the only team that really is just as much of a, you know, a threat as they were last season, if not more of a threat.
What about Philadelphia?
Philly, I think theirs is more that they're motivated. Like, they're motivated now. I think the last year, 2 years has really kind of worn on them in terms of like, hey, we've made it to the World Series, and then we got, you know, or almost to the World Series, and they, you know, they get swept by a team by, like, you know, the Diamondbacks. It's, you know, I think they were probably very disappointed in themselves and their playoff performance. And I think that's been a motivating factor. It's pretty much the same squad. I mean, who did they add?
I was going to say, you look at Philadelphia, they had a 3-2 lead going home. And they got outplayed for the next 18 innings. They got badly outplayed in the next 18 innings. I think they had a lead for one of those 18 innings. And that was the fourth inning of game 7. And Diamondbacks ended up retaking the lead.
That's right. I correct myself. Yeah, they totally were in, you know, position to beat the Diamondbacks, and, you know, they screwed up. And I think that's You know, you look at a guy like Bryce Harper. He's, you know, obviously, like, what is his motivation? I mean, he's already got a ring with the Nationals.
No, he didn't.
No. No?
It was the year he left.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I think he's just motivated to get a World Series ring then. That's really his only thing that he really needs is for his, I mean, Bryce Harper is more than likely a future Hall of Famer. I really don't see him not being a Hall of Famer unless he just completely declines to the point where he gets negative. He breaks down or he has like negative value going forward, which I think is very unlikely. I think his motivation is that he's a better team than, you know, he's better than this, and the team that he's playing for is better than that. I think that's what's motivated Philly, is that they put a very talented team together. And losing like that, when you basically, you know, Golden State Warriors, whatever, you know that meme.
Not quite that meme.
But we're almost there, you know? But I think that's the motivating factor, is just like, you know, wanting to get to the World Series and win a ring. And I think that most of the guys in that Philly team are in the same kind of headspace as Harper. I think he's, you know, like he's grown a lot that's what I see. It's not necessarily any acquisitions they made or, you know, anything else other than the psychological aspect of being heavily favored to go to the World Series again, only to lose to like a team that everyone had written off in the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, nobody expected that. Most people expected to go two and out in the wild card round. Yeah, that was a two and out series. Except it went the other way, and then they swept the dot. Any team that starts this postseason 5-0 is a threat, as we've learned.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I think that's really been their motivating, you know, the motivating factor there. That's really like,
yeah. Let me go back to that 2023 Diamondbacks team. They had like an unbreakable spirit too.
Cut out for a second.
That 2023 team had an unbreakable spirit that we don't see from this year's team.
Yeah, that's really like, I think that's what they need to get back into that headspace. I mean, that's been really the biggest problem with this team so far. And I think to some extent it's been Corbin Carroll not, you know, being who he was last year. Like, he's having a very disappointing sophomore season. I think they need to figure out that situation. I think if you can get Corbin Carroll's back going again and get him playing, like, I mean, if they got to send him down to Reno to figure things out, that's okay. Like, I'm okay with that. I don't know if Corbin Carroll, he seems like he would be okay with that. Like, I would be surprised if he was upset that they were sending him. I mean, of course he'd be upset that you're being sent down, obviously, but I don't think that he would be like a guy who would, you know, make a big stink out of it and take it poorly or anything. Like, he'd go to work and figure out whatever's off and then, you know, go from there. I don't know the issue with him, but that's like, you know, if it's injury, like everything else that's gone wrong in this season, then they need to address that. If it's shutting him down for a bit, sending him down to Reno, they got to do something with that. They got to figure out third base. They got to get the rotation, like, you know, just get some consistency there, get these guys off the IL. And you got a good chance of going back, but like getting to that spirit they had in the playoffs last season, I think that's, they need to return to that mindset if they're going to have any more success.
Yeah. I'm less worried. Corbin Carroll was issue number one, maybe like 2 weeks ago. Now he's like issue number eight. I feel like he's getting the last 2 weeks or so. He's starting to break out of it. I think he's had 5 multi-hit games since last Wednesday. So going into that Rangers second game of that Rangers series, the 3-hit games, he's had let me check the game log, but it's trending up. And we're seeing that base stealing impact again at the top of the order. It feels like he's not quite 100% back, but it's not like he's a complete zero. He's no longer a complete zero offensively.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that I know he's been doing better. I like I said before, I was not paying as much attention as I should have been, but, you know, he's still not quite the same player. If he can get back to where he was, I think that's a real key to their success going forward, is like having, like, there's just not enough offensive presence sometime with this team. And I think it's just not having the same, you know, like, that's one of the key things I'd point to.
Yeah, because if you look at his last 12 games, he's hitting .296 with a .392 on base percentage. Well, the slugging's not there with only two extra base hits and .341, but one of those doubles missed a home run by this much in actual distance. He missed a home run by this much. It ended up being winning the game eventually, but because he scored, Marte drove him in on the next batter. And what was the winning run against Sandy in the first game against the Padres? But I feel like he's getting closer. He's getting on base. And worst case scenario, Corbin Carroll getting on base is still quite an offensive plus, as we've mentioned with Jake McCarthy.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of really, I think, you know, when you get Alec Thomas, when he comes back, if he can continue hitting like he was before he, you know, hit the injured list, that would be something that could, you know, to help with it. I think figuring out third base, that's a real key too.
Like I think fixing the rotation is number one priority because the Diamondbacks aren't a team that can play well from behind this year.
Yeah.
If they don't give up if they don't give up the big inning. And that's kind of been the problem with them. They give up too many big innings.
Yeah, I think would be a key point is they're limiting those. Yeah, coming the team does not do well when they're down a significant amount, you know, from the first or second inning, they're down 6-0. Like this team doesn't feel like it can battle back. So, I mean, getting the rotation where they're actually, you know, giving you quality innings, not just like eating innings while giving up four runs every single time. Cause you'll take that, but you can't be taking that from your most expensive players on the team. You need your Jordan Montgomery's, Zach Allen's, your Merrill Kelly's to step up and be healthy and pitch well.
Yeah, because I feel like if you fix the starting rotation, that kind of sets things up offensively for you. It's like, okay, we need to score fewer runs to win this baseball game. Like when a Diamondbacks pitcher gives up four runs in their last 10 games, if a starting pitcher's given up four runs or less, they haven't lost.
Yeah. So I think that there's not really much else to add on that discussion. I mean, that's really been the key is just getting consistency from the starting rotation and, you know, having the offense, not having big defensive blunders from, you know, your rookie shortstops.
Alexander's been more under control defensively.
Yeah. He's grown since we last discussed that. So, I mean, it's just there's all these little things that just seem to be just going wrong. And I think it's just like, yeah, like you're really right about that. It's like once you have the starting rotation figured out, like those little things matter a lot less.
Remember, last year's team was two games under .500 on August 12th, entering play August 12th. They went 27-19 the rest of the way. So if they can get their stuff figured out, I think in this very weak playoff field in the National League, you only need to have a good 2 weeks and play .500 the rest of the way to get in.
Pretty much. I mean, like
that's what happened last year.
They're going to need a really hot month where they take or split every single series that they play. I think that's like the best that they can hope for. And then, you know, play .500 from there. They should make it in the wild card. So
This is the best month for them to do it with the next three teams that are going to play, three teams they should beat.
I think the real key, honestly,
six games
is not just the next month, but the, you know, July as well. You're going to hope that pretty much everyone on the injury list is back, you know, playing on the team by then. That's actually like the realistic, you know, like pretty much everyone on the injury list right now. If they're going to pitch this season, if they're going to play at all this season, it's going to be by the beginning of July. Like I'm talking about E-Rod there. I mean, if they can have a winning June and a .500 July or better, like I think they stand a really good chance of making the postseason again. And then once you like we know, you just got to get in and then you have a good chance of winning it all.
Yeah. If they do what you described, they're going to buy at the deadline and make their move. Now, if they don't, if they have a weak July and that could happen.
Yeah.
I think they might be singing a different tune, but. We'll see how that goes.
We'll have more speculation when we get a little closer to the trade deadline. We still have almost two months away from that, so plenty of time to discuss. I think you have any like final thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, I think we got to it, everything in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So anyways, thanks everyone for watching. Again, if this is the Snakes on the Diamond podcast, if you're interested in checking us out, we are both an audio and a video podcast. Watching on video, go to youtube.com/@snakesonthediamond. You can get our full library of podcast episodes. It's just me and most of them, me and Wes just talking, talking about the Diamondbacks. We have some guests. We've had Lindsey Crosby, Jack Vita, Jack Summers come on this year. We're going to try and see if we can get more guests on the show. Also, if you're listening in on audio, make sure if you're listening in on Apple or Google, give us a 5-star review and recommend this podcast. It's a good, for something to listen to on the drive to the ballpark at Chase Field this week. Like I said, the Angels and the White Sox coming up. If you're watching here on YouTube, make sure to like the video, subscribe, and share on social media. So before we sign off for this episode, Wes, do you have any final thoughts?
I just, like I said, I'm hoping that, you know, thing they figured out, we have more positive things to discuss. I'd like to hear anyone's thoughts on, like, you think the Diamondbacks will be buyers or sellers at the deadline?